Welcome to the Financial Finish Line with Greg Lavelle, founder of RetirementAdvisors.net. With over 25 years of helping clients with pre- and post-retirement income planning, Greg is committed to always putting your needs first to help ensure you have a stable, reliable retirement. His comprehensive system for wealth accumulation and tax planning allows him to uncover the right strategies for you while at the same time preserving and protecting your wealth. Greg leverages his expertise in retirement income planning, including Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care, so he can assist you in mapping out the retirement income strategy that's right for you. And now, here's your host of the Financial Finish Line, Greg Lavelle.
Hello again, and thank you for joining us for the Financial Finish Line, a show built with your retirement dreams in mind. Whether you're heading into retirement or already in retirement, we do our best to give good information to help you make informed financial decisions. But before we get started, let me introduce my co-host, Tracy Davis. Thank you, Tracy, for joining us today on the Financial Finish Line.
Thank you, Greg, for having me on the show here today. And a big thank you to all of our listeners who have joined us. As you're listening to the show, something Greg says may spark a question, or you may want to set an appointment to get started on your free retirement readiness assessment. Of course, we encourage you to visit retirementadvisors.net. That's retirementadvisors.net. Or if you'd like, you can give Greg a call anytime today. You can reach him at 888-637-3847.
Yes, and I'd love to connect with you and do my best to answer your questions and address your concerns when it comes to retirement income planning. As always, we've prepared some things that I think will be a little bit different from other shows you've heard before. Whether you realize it or not, Medicare affects two kinds of people, those in retirement and those who will someday be heading into retirement. In other words, all of us. We'll do our best to work through the alphabet soup of Medicare.
But for starters, we're going to dive into a topic that I know is near and dear to your practice and something that you help a lot of people with. As the single largest group of retirement age workers in our nation's history, baby boomers, they are reinventing retirement. Many of these never-grow-old retirees are leveraging their decades of experience, vast professional networks, and accumulating financial resources to start up their own businesses.
That's right, Tracy. And there's a term that's commonly used for this group of adventurous retirees, Encore entrepreneurs, and their numbers are on the rise. Some individuals dream of the day when they can do absolutely nothing. However, for many of us, a life of zero activity and thought would drive us absolutely nuts. Sure, a few days of relaxation is great, but after that, it's time to tackle something and then learn and grow from it. Acting on our passions and setting future goals can really do great things for a person, for their mind, body, and soul. If you find yourself nodding to this statement, then the next question is, have you considered starting a business after retirement? Retirement business ideas for the over 60s don't have to be blockbusters. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't need to be impressive. It just needs to fulfill that void that's probably been inside of you for many years. Yes, even while you were working that full-time job. The 2018 self-employment report put together by FreshBooks and Research Now found 49% of self-employed people are boomers. In the 2019 Inside Small Business Survey, 65% of Americans polled said they want to open a business when they reach retirement. And it's not always about the money, right? Think long and hard about what you want to get out of retirement. Do you envision getting bored living a life of entertainment and leisure? Have you always dreamed of making money doing something you love? Are you willing to perhaps work even harder than you did before you retired, but doing it out of passion rather than simply making a living? If so, starting your own business in your retirement years may be a solid choice for you.
Now, you and I have talked about this before, but if you could, share with our listeners why someone in or heading into retirement should consider the path of an encore entrepreneur.
There are several reasons why retirees take the business startup plunge. Some need extra income to keep up with inflation and maintain their pre-retirement lifestyle for what could be a very long retirement. Here's another reason. When you're in your 60s, it can be difficult to find employers willing to hire you to work part-time, despite your experience and knowledge. Becoming your own boss takes care of that potential obstacle. Another solid reason to launch a business in retirement and become that encore entrepreneur is that it may put you in a more favorable tax status. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. And perhaps, most important, you can revisit your passions after a lifetime of work in your chosen career. Whether you loved your job or considered it just a paycheck, building your own business can be a fresh opportunity to throw yourself into something you truly care about.
Okay, so you may be thinking, that sounds pretty good. Where do I start? What kind of business would I like to launch?
For starters, you should only do what you love. Everyone has some kind of interest in life, and no matter what it is, you can probably figure out a way to make money. For example, do you build model trains? Maybe you could host kids' birthday parties or workshops. Do you like to watch TV? How about starting a blog reviewing favorite shows? Do you love baseball? Have you considered organizing tours to games or ballparks? The key is to turn your passions into a viable business, and I think most people would agree that customers are drawn to business owners who are passionate about their product or service. A few of the more popular retiree business options include consulting in your field of expertise. There are some benefits to being older. With age comes wisdom. One of the best business ideas for the over 50s is consulting. Next is investing in rental properties. Real estate can be a solid investment, plain and simple. There are many options in this category that may fit your budget and available time commitment.
Here's a popular one too, buying and selling online. Have you always had a knack for finding products well below market price? Off the clearance rack, the internet, maybe even garage sales? The concept is really simple. Find ways to buy super cheap products and then sell them through a medium where you can earn more, typically Amazon, Facebook, Marketplace, or eBay.
Now here's one that's near to my heart. Be a financial professional. Have you ever met a financial professional that was 22 years old and was supposedly going to teach you, a 50-year-old that has actually lived life and experienced the swings in the market, how to retire comfortably? You know who can properly sell themselves as a financial professional? You, the well-seasoned veteran of life and money.
Can I add one to the list?
Go for it.
Consider a pet business. Americans spend a lot of money on their pets. Morgan Stanley forecasts that the pet industry spending will nearly triple to $275 billion by 2030. You could discover a way to capture part of that industry.
That's a good one. You know, I still believe that we live in the land of opportunity, and your dream of starting your own business in retirement may be just one great idea away.
Now, Greg, you mentioned earlier that operating a small business may put you in a more favorable tax status.
Yes, there are perfectly legal tax breaks for businesses and small business owners in particular. Let's take a closer look at that. The last thing you want to do is miss out on deductions that could potentially save you hundreds of thousands of dollars on your taxes. While certain expenses are specific to the particular kind of business you run, here are some of the most common tax deductions available for most small business owners. First is a qualified business income deduction. The 2018 tax reform law changed how deductions work for most taxpayers, including small business owners. Under this tax law, most small businesses are able to deduct 20% of their income on their taxes. Not too shabby. There are limitations to this deduction, and you should consult with your qualified tax professional for the specifics. Next is a home office deduction. Do you intend to turn a spare room in your house or apartment into a home office space? Good news. That means you'll probably be able to deduct expenses for the business use of your home, which includes mortgage interest, insurance, utilities, repairs, and depreciation. Another common deduction is vehicle expenses. If you can show that you use a vehicle for business purposes, you should be able to deduct those expenses from your income. Of course, you should always keep good records. And then there's travel and meal expenses. You can deduct most travel expenses from business trips if there is a business purpose behind the trip. Just make sure you hang on to all your receipts and keep detailed records from your travels. Also, business owners can generally deduct 50% of qualifying food and beverage costs. To be eligible for the deduction, the expense must be an ordinary part of running your business. Next is tax breaks for telephone and internet expenses. These days, I don't know many business owners who could operate without their internet and telephone service. That being said, if internet services and your phone, even cell phones, are integral to running your business, you may be able to deduct partial or even full cost paid for them. Again, consult your tax professional or CPA to find out which of these deductions you're eligible to receive and keep records of your spending to substantiate the tax deductions you wish to take. To reiterate, being an Encore entrepreneur can potentially help you have more control over the tax bracket you land in. So, should you consider becoming an Encore entrepreneur? To find out, ask yourself a few questions and answer them honestly. Do you have a passion or hobby that you want to pursue in retirement? Do you have the financial resources that you can afford to put into it? Does the thought of a traditional retirement bore you? If you answered yes to some or all of these questions, starting a business in retirement may suit you. After all, golf and lazy days at the beach aren't for everyone. Some retirees find that challenging themselves as Encore entrepreneurs can be engaging, fulfilling, and lucrative all at the same time. Ultimately, entrepreneurship may provide a sense of purpose, which many people recognize as a source of happiness. If your work offered the most important elements to make you happy in life, a sense of purpose, the flexibility to generally live on your terms, financial security, and good health, would you ever want to retire? Reach out to me today and we can start a conversation about this. Many of my clients have started businesses in retirement, and I'd be happy to assist you in your new venture as well. Give me a call at 888-637-3847 or 888-63-RETIRE and get started with your free retirement readiness assessment. 888-637-3847, or you can connect with me online at retirementadvisors.net.
You've heard us say on the show before that when you retire, all the rules change. That's especially true when it comes to your health care. For years, most workers receive their health care insurance coverage through their employer, or they purchase it on the marketplace. But that all changes when you hit a certain age.
That's right, Tracy. At age 65, you become eligible for the second largest social program in America, Medicare. If you're like most people, you think to yourself, Medicare? I'm sure it's important, but I don't really know too many details about it. Well, today is a good day to dig into some details about Medicare and what it could mean for you. First of all, what is Medicare and where did it come from? Medicare is the federal government's health insurance program that primarily covers people 65 and older and certain younger people with disabilities. The discussion around providing health insurance for senior citizens on a national level first began more than 100 years ago. Several U.S. presidents, including Teddy Roosevelt, Harry Truman, and John F. Kennedy, unsuccessfully pushed for a national health care program for seniors. But it wasn't until 1966, after legislation was signed by President Lyndon B. Johnson, that Americans started receiving Medicare health coverage. When it was first enacted, the budget for Medicare was around $10 billion, and 19 million individuals signed up for Medicare during its first year. Fast forward to today. As of August 2021, there were nearly 63.8 million people receiving health coverage through Medicare. Medicare spending reached $926 billion in 2020 and accounted for about 21% of total national health spending in 2019.
But Medicare has changed some in its decades of existence, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. And it continues to evolve with new generations of Americans. In the 90s, legislation gave those eligible for Medicare coverage more options on the private market through Medicare Part C, Medicare Advantage. President George W. Bush signed into law the Medicare Prescription Drug Improvement and Modernization Act of 2003, adding an optional prescription drug benefit known as Part D.
Now, we know that Medicare is designed primarily for people who are 65 and above, but you say that we all benefit from it?
That's right. Virtually all of us benefit from Medicare, directly or indirectly. Medicare is a lifeline that puts health care in reach of millions of older Americans. But it does much more. By helping older Americans stay healthy and independent, Medicare eases a potential responsibility for younger family members. Here are a few of the many ways Medicare matters. Medicare guarantees affordable health insurance. Before Medicare, almost 1 in 2 older Americans had no health insurance and faced a bleak future if they got seriously ill. Their choices often included wiping out their savings, taking money from their children, seeking welfare, or doing without care. Medicare delivers a guaranteed level of coverage to people who might not otherwise be able to afford it. In a large way, Medicare helps fight poverty. When Medicare was enacted in 1965, nearly 1 in 3 seniors lived in poverty. Older people were more likely to be poorer than any other age group. Yet, in its first 10 years, Medicare helped cut their poverty rate in half. By helping people shoulder the potentially devastating costs of illness, Medicare plays a critical role in the financial security of older Americans as well as their health security.
Wow, those are some good benefits when you think about it. But Medicare, on the surface, seems to be a bit complicated. All those letters and options, what does it all mean?
Over the decades of Medicare in America, we've seen a parade of plan options, and they all have letters associated with them, A, B, C, D, and so on and so forth. It can get a bit overwhelming if you're not sure what all these mean. It's what I call the alphabet soup of Medicare. So, what are the various parts of Medicare and what are they for? The different parts of Medicare help cover specific services. Let's start at the top of the alphabet, Medicare Part A. This is often unofficially referred to as your hospital insurance. Part A covers inpatient hospital stays, care in a skilled nursing facility, hospice care, and some home health care. Medicare Part B is sometimes referred to as your standard medical insurance portion of Medicare. Part B covers certain doctor services, outpatient care, medical supplies, and many preventive services. Medicare Part D is your prescription drug coverage plan. This helps cover the cost of prescription drugs, both generics and brand names, including many recommended shots or vaccines. To get Part D Medicare drug coverage, you must join a Medicare-approved plan that offers drug coverage. With Medicare, you have options in how you get your coverage. Once you enroll, you'll need to decide how you'll get your Medicare coverage. There are 2 main ways. There's a term you'll see when searching out information on Medicare, and that's Original Medicare. This includes Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. You pay for the services as you get them. When you do receive services, you'll pay a deductible at the start of each year, and you usually pay 20% of the cost of the Medicare-approved service, called coinsurance. If you want drug coverage, you can add a separate drug plan, which is Part D. Original Medicare pays for much, but not all, of the cost for covered health services and supplies. A Medicare supplement insurance, commonly known as a Medigap policy, can help pay some of the remaining healthcare costs, like copayments, coinsurance, and deductibles.
So that's Medicare plus a prescription plan. But what if you want more and you don't mind paying for it?
This is where a Medicare Advantage plan comes in. Medicare Advantage is a Medicare-approved plan from a private company that offers an alternative to original Medicare for your health and drug coverage. Medicare Advantage plans are another way to get your Medicare Part A and Part B coverage. Medicare Advantage plans, sometimes called Part C or MA plans, are offered by Medicare-approved private companies that must follow rules set by Medicare. Enrollment in Part C is voluntary. Most Medicare Advantage plans include drug coverage, Part D. In most cases, you'll need to use healthcare providers who participate in the plan's network. These plans offer bundled Medicare Part A, Part B, and usually Part D into one plan. Plans may also offer some extra benefits that original Medicare doesn't cover, like vision, hearing, and dental services. If there are specific services you want covered, you should consider those when purchasing a Part C Medicare Advantage plan.
Okay, that's a lot to digest, so let me recap. You covered original Medicare, Part A and B, Part D, prescription drug coverage, and Medicare Advantage plans that usually combine those three and offer additional benefits. You also mentioned a Medicare supplement. What is that exactly?
A Medicare supplement plan, commonly known as Medigap, is an additional coverage option to original Medicare. Medicare Part A and Part B only covers 80% of services. Adding a Medigap plan may cover the remaining 20%, reducing or eliminating coinsurance or copayments, as well as some additional out-of-pocket costs. These policies are sold by private insurance companies, and these are only used with original Medicare. You cannot have Medigap coverage with a Medicare Advantage plan. Don't think of a Medigap policy as providing additional healthcare services. Rather, it helps you pay for the services you're already using.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, Greg, when listening to some of the folks that talk about Medicare coverage, some of them have mentioned something about a donut hole. And of course, I hear donut hole and my ears perk up. I mean, after all, who doesn't love donuts, right? But I think it's not that kind of donut, is it?
No. It's not that kind of donut. I'll explain. When Medicare Part D prescription drug coverage first became available, there was a built-in gap in coverage. While in this gap, plan members had to pay the full cost of their covered drugs until their total costs qualified them for catastrophic coverage. The phrase donut hole was commonly used to describe this gap. Let me walk you through the four stages of coverage for Medicare Part D, and I think it'll make more sense. Stage 1 is the deductible stage. Some Part D plans require you to pay an annual deductible up to a certain limit before your plan starts to pay. Then, you're in the Stage 2, which is the initial coverage stage. During this stage, your copayments and coinsurance come into play. You pay just your share of prescription cost, and your Part D plan pays the rest for covered medications. If the combined amount you and your drug plan pay for prescription drugs reaches a certain level during the year, you then enter Stage 3, the coverage gap or donut hole, as some call it. This means there is a temporary limit on what the drug plan will cover for drugs. Once in the gap, you'll pay no more than 25% of the cost for brand name and generic prescription drugs covered by your Part D plan. For 2022, once you've spent $7,050 out of pocket, you're out of the coverage gap and moved into Stage 4, catastrophic coverage. In this last phase of Part D plan coverage, you'll only pay a small coinsurance amount or copayment for covered drugs for the rest of the year. When your new plan year is beginning, you start over at Stage 1 with a new deductible amount if your plan has one. Now, here's the good news. Over the years, the Affordable Care Act has been shrinking that coverage gap each year. Where members once paid 100% of their costs in the gap, now their share of the costs in the coverage gap is limited to 25% for both brand name and generic drugs. The coverage gap is essentially closed, but still remains relevant when it comes to prescription drug coverage. So that's the Medicare donut hole. It only applies to your prescription drug plan. There is no gap in coverage for services related to Medicare Parts A and B.
Before we wrap up this discussion on Medicare, you still haven't addressed Parts F, G, and H, and so on. So what are those all about?
Oh yes, this can be confusing. There's not a Medicare Part F or Part G and so on. When you hear those letters, what is being referred to are the various options that are available with the Medicare Supplement Insurance policies known as Medigap policies. In fact, there's a whole host of plans within these Medigap policies that range in letters from A to N. There are too many Medigap options to cover on our program today. But as a licensed insurance professional, I love to meet with you and answer your questions about Medicare, Advantage plans, and Medigap plans. In fact, I'd like to send you our free guide, the 2022 Medicare Questions. Just reach out to me through the website, retirementadvisors.net, or just give me a call at 888-637-3847 or 888-63-RETIRE. Give me a call today and schedule a time for your free retirement readiness assessment, 888-637-3847. You can also connect with me through my website at retirementadvisors.net. That's going to wrap up our show for today. Thank you again for joining us for the Financial Finish Line.
Securities offered through Client One Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Retirement Advisors and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated. Licensed insurance professional. Respond and learn how financial products, including life insurance and annuities, can be used in various planning strategies for retirement. This material has been prepared for informational and educational purposes only. It is not intended to provide and should not be relied upon for accounting, legal, tax, or investment advice. Licensed to sell insurance in the following states: Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Maine. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. No investment strategy can guarantee a profit or protect against loss in a period of declining values. Any reference to protection benefits or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investment products. Insurance and annuity products are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company.